This is the perfect time to start a side hustle, and this is also the perfect time to start a podcast about starting a side hustle. Kick it. The dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. This is the Living My Side Hustle podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Living My Side Hustle. I have someone here today who's giving up time on a holiday in the U.S. to spend time with us, and that is amazing. Jared is here. We're going to be talking about all things side hustle, and we have an expert in the house who's going to help us kind of manage our time, get some perspective with our side hustle, and Jared's here to kind of give us that, share some of his wisdom and his thoughts on the topic. Jared, welcome to Living My Side Hustle.
Thanks, Dave. I really appreciate for having me on. It's awesome. Excited to share and be part of it. It's great.
So you've taken a side hustle from a, 15-30 minute a day endeavor into something a lot more. Can you kind of talk a little bit about your early days of your side hustle and maybe why you started on this path of developing a side hustle?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. So about 6 years ago, I was working at Walmart, and at the time I'd been there for like 11 years working and as a salary member management. So after the 40 hours, you normally go overtime, but with salary, you just got to work as much as they wanted you to work. And I was fine with it. I knew what I was getting myself into. I knew what kind of industry I was in. I was retail in the stores. I knew the holidays, that's going to be when they want me there. And the paradigm shift for me was when my wife got pregnant with our third child. So when she got pregnant with our third child, because there was an 8-year gap between number two and number three.
Wow.
And so I was like, oopsie, he was a blessing, I guess. But there was a 8-year gap. And I kind of had a paradigm shift where I thought back of all the times that I missed for my first two kids, because every holiday I missed. I missed dance recitals, karate tournaments, soccer games, everything you can think of that's kind of like the cool stuff of being a parent. Like I just wasn't there. Christmases, everything. So, and I remembered having that moment, where I was like, I need something has to change. Cause I want to be there for my daughter. I want to be there for all my other two kids too. Right. But I don't want to miss the stuff that I missed for my first two kids. I still want to be present with them and have a different type of life, but I could not do that in my current circumstances. There's just no way. So I knew something had to change, whether it's, and at the time I didn't know it was going to be a side hustle. I didn't know it was going to be, I started that search of something different, something new. And so a friend of mine invited me to come down to a real estate event, a real estate investor workshop. And real estate wasn't even on my radar whatsoever, like not even remotely close. I thought you had to have $1 billion in the bank and like perfect credit to be a real estate investor. And I had neither one of those two. Mm. And so I went because my wife wanted to go. If she wants to go, like I want to continue being married. So let's keep on going. Right. So she said, let's go. So we did. And it was like, okay, you can buy money, you can buy properties if you have $1 million, if you have perfect credit, absolutely. But that's not the only way to buy properties. And that's what I learned. I learned that you can buy properties if you don't have great credit. If you don't have any money, you can use other people's money. You could, there's seller financing. There's so many different strategies, which I can dive into. But so I learned like, okay, cool. I can buy properties without using my own money, without using my own credit. Like all the properties I purchased so far have been never used my own credit. And so when I kind of took those nuggets away from that event, I was like, oh wow, this is possible. This is for me. And at the time I was going to school full time as well. So I was working 60 hours a week, then plus going to school full time.
Wow.
I had hair before those are listening. I'm completely bald. But when I started, I had hair. When I, ended, not so much. But so I had to kind of, that's really kind of got me into the side hustle of just real estate investing, doing fix and flips, wholesale transactions. So basically it's like a shorter term fix and flip. And so I started doing that with just anywhere from like 15 minutes a day to 30 minutes a day. And it took me 6 months to land my first transaction. And then after that, we did a couple more a couple more fix and flips. And then, so I had, in within a year, we had more money than my Walmart job would pay me. And it was like sitting in the bank in one lump sum. So I was like, I almost had little imposter syndrome happening. You know, it was just like, I never had this much in one location before or ever in the history of my whole life, nor have I known people, because I was hanging out with my Walmart buddies. Like, we're just working our day job. And that's all I thought there was. And so, I mean, I even had a little imposter syndrome kind of kicking in. And but then we had more flips on the way. So that's when I made my side hustle into my full-time hustle. And that was, so I left Walmart around 4 or 5 years ago. So yeah, so I've been self-employed ever since. And I've been constantly adding more side hustles, which is may or may not be a good thing. I haven't quite decided quite just yet, but it's become an addiction, to say the least.
So the one thing I've noticed that with people who do have side hustles, they talk to people who they work with at their regular jobs. And there's this look on people's faces like, why do you do something extra? Isn't this enough? Like, isn't our job here at company A, isn't that good enough for you? It's good enough for me. Why is it not good enough for you? And there's this curious look on people's faces when you tell them you have something on the side. Did you kind of experience that while working?
Yes, I did. I did. I had people straight up like belly laugh at me. Like I remember distinctly, and I'm actually grateful he did this. At the time I was furious, but I just told him what I wanted to accomplish. I wanted to, cause I told him one day I want to leave Walmart. You know, I've been there for, you know, 11 and a half years at the time when I was talking to him about my goals. And he's like, you're going to buy real estate. Why would you do that? What are you doing? Don't you know the market's going to crash? And he's never owned a property in his life. So like, so he knows everything, of course.
Yeah.
But he just literally like I remember him, and he was a heavier guy. I'm not trying to disparage him by any means, but he laughed so hard that I saw his belly jiggle, and is just like, you're no way in heck you're going to do that. And just straight up rude. And I thought this guy was like, oh, I thought we were kind of buddies, but you're a jerk. And I need to thank him, honestly, because that kind of gave me extra motivation. Like, I'm the type of person, you tell me I can't do something, okay, hold my beer. I'll show you. Let's see it. So I remember distinctly that particular moment was a huge motivation for me personally. Was like, okay, I'm gonna. And there was more people like that, maybe not quite to that level. Like they just gave me those looks, like you mentioned earlier. But for me, it was a motivation. That really was. Like every time someone said that, why are you doing that? Even my family was kind of like, you're
what?
You're trying to leave Walmart? What, you've been there for like forever? What are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
But now they sing a different tune, that's for sure.
And then I guess that leads to my other thought, is that when you do talk to people about things you do on the side and people don't get it, you get to feel pretty lonely. Or am I making a mistake here? Like everyone around me is shaking their head like, you're crazy. Why would you do something so stupid? And then you're like, but I have this dream, but no one else around me has a similar dream. I feel disconnected. I feel like I'm possibly making a mistake, but I don't know. And there's no one around here that thinks like me to kind of give me a seal of approval that I'm on the right path. So from your perspective, is someone listening who feels exactly like that, listening to our episode with you here today, what do you say to that person who's getting stonewalled by all their friends, family, and coworkers and feels quite alone? Maybe they're going to give up this week and say, you know what? Right. This 15, 30 minutes a day is not really panning out. I'm not on the right path. I'm going to go back to my day job, keep my head down, and just do the thing. What do you say to that person?
There's some good questions here. So for me, the biggest thing, because it's right, because it is emotional when you're working so hard to achieve this set goal, whatever that goal is for you that you're working for, and you're not having the support. Like even sometimes like the spouses may or may not be that supportive. And so I've talked to guys where they're trying to do these side hustles, and the spouse is like, oh, you're doing one of, especially after they failed a couple of times. And it's like, oh, you're doing one of those things again, you know, whatever it is, you're starting a business, you join the community, whatever it is. Right. So it can be hard. And if your goal isn't bigger than that, it's going to be snuffed out. For me personally, what I did and was unshakable and key to my success I put myself around people that were doing the things that I wanted to accomplish. And yeah. That if I didn't do that, because I would have been around the same negativity that I've always been around with. And don't get me wrong, there were great people there, but they just had a different mindset. And so when you're doing something new, they get those looks, you get those comments. But so I would go every single week, a couple times a week. I call it real estate church. So I go to my real church, and then on Thursday nights, I go to my real estate church, is what I call it. And it was just a meetup group, right? Where we would help each other, we would do deals together. And I was with people that either had the same goals as me, that was at the same level or a little bit, maybe even further behind. But I was with people, a lot of people that were like doing, you know, 10, 15 deals, you know, in a matter of a couple of months. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna learn from these guys. And I just offered my services or sweat equity to these guys anywhere I could, whether it was like they need someone to knock on doors for these leads or something. Like, okay, cool. One Saturday, I'll grab my daughter and we'll go knock on some doors, you know, and I wasn't expecting anything in return. I was like, I just want to, sure, if they want to, I'm going to set appointments for you. So, you know, if they're hot leads, you can come close them. And then I didn't ask anything in return. Like, let me just work for you. I'm going to learn stuff. Let me help your business. And I'll learn along the way. And there were a lot of them were kind of like, what? You know, so I would ask people this one question, which is important. I think so. If your audience members can write this down.
Okay, here we go.
I would ask them, John, I love your business. This is amazing stuff. Can I ask you a question, John? And said, yes. What do you need right now to take your business to the next level?
Right.
So whatever they said, like if they said money, like obviously I didn't have money at the time, right?
Yeah.
Or like, I need help finding more leads. Okay. Need more leads. And I'd bank that in. I put it in my head. And so as I'm like networking or whatever it is, if you need, how do you find leads? Cool. So then do you just need someone to call people? Whatever it was, like just kind of find out what they needed. If it's money, something I didn't have, I couldn't just fix with sweat equity. I would like, as I'm networking and I find someone, oh, you have a HELOC, you have some money you're looking to put to work. I was just talking to John. Can I introduce you? And I would just like put those two together, not expecting anything in return. That's important. Nice. That really is.
Yep.
Not expecting anything in return. I just put those two together. And now John, that I helped him found like exactly what he was looking for. I helped him take his business to the next level and under his terms. Then it's like, oh, wow. Okay. Now there's a difference between if I would have went to John and said, hey, John, how can I help you? What can I do to serve you? And I'm like, well, now I'm asking him to do work, to think of what my skills are, what I can do to serve him. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
So just by asking what he needs to make his level or his business the next level, whatever that may be, then I'll do my homework and see what I can do to make that happen. Sometimes I can't, but then I have it in the back of my head, like, oh, okay, so Dane's looking for more capital or looking for more deals or whatever it is. He's a good handyman for some reason.
Yeah.
Just provide service. That was huge.
And you gotta know that the moment you walk away from those two people who are now doing business together. Mm-hmm. That you are the subject of conversation.
Exactly.
And you're not even in the room because you made a connection happen. And these two are going to be like, that Jared guy, like, what about that guy? That guy's amazing. Yeah. We would never be working together if it wasn't for him. And going to get out into the public and get out into business because you made something happen and then stepped away.
Awesome. Exactly. And now they're both, it's a law of rest. What's that? How do you?
Well, reciprocity.
Reciprocity.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You don't get to know words to make money, people. So have faith.
There you go. Yeah.
But it's that same law, you know. I mean, so even though, and here's the thing. So now I help these two people connect, and whether they help me with a deal or they help me with funding or whatever it I'm looking for, they may give me another connection, or it's banked in, you know, favors are banked, you know, whether subconsciously or whatever. Now I'm more likable. I'm like, oh, this, because so many new people go to groups, go to even forums or whatever. They're just asking, hey guys, I need help. Who can mentor me?
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen, because I'm a member of like a billion real estate Facebook groups. I can't tell you how many times people are like saying, hey, I'm just looking for a mentor. Who can help me? Who can walk me through the first deal? And it's just like, okay, so you're asking someone that's doing, and ideally you want someone that's doing good, that knows what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And you're asking them to do you a favor for what?
Right.
Like, what are you giving them in return? Like, what? Yeah. I mean, most successful people do want to help out for the most part. So I'm not, there are plenty of people that would jump all over that. But the thing is, like, you got to go at a different mindset as a servant mindset of if you're looking for people to mentor you and help you, like where the groups I went to, and I can help people if they're looking, because it's nationwide, anyone that's listening, if they just want to go to linktree.com/AskJared, you can just reach out to me. You know, my email's there, my social media is there. You can just reach out to me and I can plug you into local real estate investing groups that'll, if that's something you're interested in, of course I'd say, but yeah. Also it's entrepreneur mindset stuff.
Nice.
But when you go about it, like, how can I help this person and serve them? It's going to pay off dramatically.
Yeah.
So show up. I kind of went on a whole tangent and away from your question.
Show up in the room with what you can bring to the room, not just what you can take from the room. Right.
Exactly.
So
exactly. Well, that's online or physical.
Yeah. It's a perfect way to connect and do business and just to build connections over time. Right. You have to do that. You have to get out there and put yourself out there. 100%. For the listener again with the new side hustle plans, let's talk about time management. What's important to you when you only have a short amount of time per day to put into your side hustle and your dream? How did you kind of orient yourself? And is this kind of your thing? Are you a big time management person or did you have to learn it?
I learned it, and being a Walmart manager, and I had to manage my time, then plus the time of 400 other associates.
Yeah.
So it was that helped me a lot. Honestly, that was a good education.
Yeah.
On how to manage my time and other people's time, and which helped me a lot. Like when I'm managing projects, managing contractors and so on. But when I first started. So I was working I was working Walmart 60 hours a week on average. Holiday time is like some weeks like 80. If it's like inventory week, whatever. I was pretty much slept there. But by the way, side note, can I go to side tangent?
Yeah.
Black Friday is the funnest day to work in Walmart. I loved it so much. Before and after sucked, but yeah. Black Friday was awesome because who's listening here can see the scene, two old ladies have a fist fight. I can say that, there's just stuff like that all the time. I mean, not to say I'm enjoying old lady fighting each other, but there's still some entertainment along it. Anyway, sorry. I'm a king of squirrel moments.
Yeah.
So I was working 60 hours a week and then plus going 18 credit hours. Now that sounds more impressive than it really was when I was taking 18 credit hours, a lot of easy ones, I took like Spanish 101, but I'm already fluent in Spanish. So I was like, mm-hmm. So it still took time though, regardless, however easy it was. So I would only have 15 minutes to 30 minutes a day where I could, because I still have a wife and kids. At the time, a pregnant wife and kids. Yeah. So they need my time. They need me to be present with them. So what I did, I took a lot of stuff from a lot of different books. Atomic Habits is one. I highly recommend people to read that book. But it was, I made something I called sacred time.
Okay.
So sacred time for me is like, if I am naturally a religious person, but even if someone's not religious, they have things that are sacred to them, whether that's like a picture, a book or something that they really feel like hold near, dear to the heart. They would never allow, if I had a picture of my grandmother that passed away, I would never allow my kids just to, slobber all over it and throwing around. I would let my dog chew on it because that's sacred to me.
Right.
So I would not let anyone step onto that picture. That's sacred to me.
Yeah.
So I had to create sacred time where I would not allow other distractions to involve, whether that's distractions for me because I want to watch YouTube or whatever, I want to just sleep or whatever. I had to dedicate those specific times. Mm-hmm. And so what I did, depending on because my schedule was sporadic, I didn't have 9 to 5. It was just kind of like, you're just there, right? So I would create the sacred time attached to an event. So I'd get home. And so if I got home at 5 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night or whatever it was, from 8 o'clock to 8:30 was my sacred time. Okay. So I had to dedicate specific times. And if someone has a regular schedule, it's even easier because you can say, okay, from 5:05 when I walk in that door, from 5:35 or whatever the time frame they're allotted, that's my time. I'm going to be working on my side hustle and my side hustle only.
Right.
And just dedicating some time to it and being specific is going to help. But the thing is, you got to do some negotiation before you do it.
Yeah.
So you got to look in your life and like, okay, so who would normally try to step on my sacred time? Mm-hmm. Whether great intentions or not, right? My kids, they need my attention. My wife needs my attention, everything. My buddy, my mom, give me a call, whatever. So I had to have conversations with these, with the people in my life that would normally reach out to me or whatever it is. And I would have those conversations with my wife. I even negotiated with my wife. I'm like, cause she cuts hair on the side, not my hair, obviously, but she cuts hair on the side. She's busy. She's stay home mom. She's still, you know, she does a lot of stuff. And so when I get home, it's kind of like a relief. So you're kind of like, oh man, can you take the kids for a minute? Right. And I get that, respect that. And so I'm like, I negotiate with her, like, listen, babe, if I need this time for us, because this is going to give us a better life, I give her the goals.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is at the end of this, at the end of my sacred time, I'm going to take the kids. You can go for a walk. You can go for ice, whatever you want to do. That's your time now.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. That's nice. So she, you know, got a girlfriend. She would just relax for a minute. Right. And I'm just taking care of everything or like, I'll do the dishes when it's not normally my turn to do dishes or whatever it is. Right. Yeah. You negotiate. And with my kids, I created, everyone talks about vision boards and dream boards. You can see my mess of my board back there, but we have achievement boards downstairs in my house, wherever we can see it. So when dad hits certain, and we've updated ever, we've been updating forever. When dad hits certain points in his goals, I don't get something. The kids get something.
Nice.
And they chose those things. And my wife too. So there's four of them. There's five of us in total, right? So there's four corners, and they have pictures up of what happens when dad hits certain points. And so now my daughter, she's like, Dad, did you go to work? Did you make money today? Because she wants to get the thing that she wanted, right? And now they're bought into my success because it's going to be their success too. If I'm having a lazy day, like I kid you not, man, I have my daughter like she's a hound. She really wants this thing. It's a cool little bunk bed that she had, you know. And so there's certain things I need to do in this next month for her to get that. And so if I'm like sitting down, I'm like, Dad, shouldn't you be working right now? You know, it is cute. And it's fun, but it's getting the whole family bought into your own goals. Right. And you got to make sure. And if it's, you don't want to have, if you're going to do the achievement board, you don't want to be so big and so far ahead for them to get something that they're not really, oh, well, okay, Dad has to quit his job before I get that, the snake or whatever they wanted. Right. Or this, the Xbox VR set, whatever it is. Right. If it's so far out, I mean, they'll be excited for like that week, but then realizing like, oh, wait, this is going to take a long time. I'm not going to, so you can tier it, you know, you can have like, you know, when I do my first deal, you're going to get this $100 thing or something, right? Yeah. Whatever it is. So getting the buy-in is key to the people that love around, and whatever strategy that you can put into place. Those are some things that I did, but the thing is like, you know, your family better than anyone else. So you can like, okay, I know my son, if I do X, Y, and Z, he's going to be on board. He's going to leave me alone. And even with younger kids, you can do like, so like physical cues of when like not to talk to dad. I mean, how kind of sounds bad, but you know, dad's working, especially like I'm in my home office, which is / my bedroom. This is the same house I've had when we bought this when I was working at Walmart. We just haven't upgraded or anything, but I would put on a hat when I have my hat on, you don't, dad's off limits. He's on the phone. He's watching a class online. He's learning. He's taking action. That's off limits until that hat comes off.
Interesting.
So
that's a good tip.
Yeah. It takes time to build that too. So
yeah,
you're training your family, you're training your loved ones. And it sounds effectively, right? You're training your loved ones to react. So if you allow them, especially the beginning, to step on the sacred time, like, hey, I got my head on, or like, okay, honey, what is it real quick? You know, it needs to be, you kind of have to be firm with it. And you don't want to be a jerk to your, especially the loved ones, but with the end vision in mind, this is what I'm doing to secure our family. This is the small things I need to do to take care of this. Right.
Right. Yeah. And it's also a good trigger for yourself as well to keep focused.
Yes,
right. Absolutely. I have my hat on. Oh, wait, I shouldn't be on YouTube watching cat videos right now. I should be focused on what I'm doing.
100% right. Dude, that you're 100% spot on. Because doing whatever it is, having a hat on, being in a certain place, like Tom and Kamis talks about it. Like if I'm at my desk, I better not be watching cat you like even if it's time when I'm not working, I better not be doing it because then it's like, and it's gonna relate sitting here with wasting time watching the cat videos, right? Where and that's why I don't work anymore. I used to work on the couch, and that's not good because I have so many habits attached to the couch where they're like, right. Oh, hey, the remote's right next to me. Let's see what game's on. Let's see whatever, you know, see what else is on. So dedicating not only the time but a location to work is key. There was times where I would park. There's two things I did with my car. So I would get home, I would park in our garage, and I wouldn't leave. I would make that sacred time in my car. So maybe the night before I make sure my laptop was in my car. So I had access to it. I just jump on it. And so by the time I got into the house, I was raring to go. So you can kind of think and look at your own routines. And like, if you're getting home and you know, like there's this, and your wife's cooking or your husband's cooking or whatever, and you're like, okay, I'm just going to, cause here's the thing. It's a slippery slope. It's like, I'll just sit down and eat real quick. And then like, oh man. Oh, okay. Oh, like Billy wants to go play. Let's play some Legos together a little bit here. And next thing you know, it's like 11 o'clock at night. Like, oh crap. I didn't do anything. I didn't grow my business at all. And so that's a slippery slope. That's why it's so important. Like, I think you should add your sacred time in between those moments, whether that's work. And sometimes maybe it's waking up early. That could be a sacred time too, where everyone's sleeping. Yeah. So like, I'm just going to wake up at 5:30 in the morning. I normally wake up at 6. You can manage having 30 minutes less sleep. Like, I don't care what you say, you can do it.
Yeah. And think about all the hours that you gave to your employer over and above your 40 hours a week. And you thought nothing of it. It's, you know, hey, it's a holiday. It's a inventory. Right. Yeah. It's expected that I have to be here. Without pay, without any kind of anything coming back to you and time away from your family, you freely gave that time with nothing, with no expectation of getting anything back. Maybe a pat on the back, maybe that. Right. And then if you take that same mentality, go towards your side hustle, why would we feel guilty then for 15 to 30 minutes away from the family to focus on what could make our life better?
100%. Right? That is just nail in the head. I mean, I couldn't say that better. Because it's all in your mindset what you're doing. And the thing is, what a lot of people do is, especially when they only have, and people have more time than that, that's phenomenal. But if they only have like 30 minutes a day, that needle of where you want to be is not going to move very fast. It's going to, I mean, it's when you get 30 minutes a day, it's not like you're working 8 hours and then you accomplish that much, right? So it's where you want to be is not going to move as fast. So you have to kind of just have the mindset like, I just need to be closer to my goals than I was yesterday. Whether that's like, I learned a new skill or a new technique when I'm trying to find a property, for example, or whatever it is, you need to have something where you're moving that needle closer to where you want it to be. And then, cause the thing is like, I don't believe in burnout in any shape or form. I think people feel burnouts because they're not progressing. So if you ever feel like you are burnt out of doing a podcast, or you're burnt out of just working at Walmart, you're burnt out of your side hustle, think about, are you just plateauing? Have you not really gone up? When you're moving up, when you're progressing, that gives energy. After I just talked to the seller and had a great conversation, and like there, we're going to keep moving forward on potentially purchasing the property, I'm jazzed, man. I'm like, let's go. I'm not burnt out. But when I'm burnt out, when I call 12 people and they all told me no, that's like, oh, I'm just so exhausted. I'm calling, I can't call anyone else. That's burnt out. But it's really, it's just, we just need to have the progression. So massive action cures the burnt out effect or whatever you want to call it.
Just go to a drag race. You'll see two cars lined up. They get their tires wet. And then what do? A burnout. Where are they going? Nowhere.
Right.
They're just sitting in one spot, smoking their tires, a lot of action, a lot of noise, but no progression. They're not going anywhere. It's when they finally hit the green light is when they actually move and go to a different destination. So We're talking burnout. That's it. It's spinning your tires in one location, not going anywhere.
Right. That you're so true, David. See? You're 100% right. So it's like, if you feel that way, again, we're going so many side tangents, but
I love it.
when you feel that way, it's all about like, okay, what do I need to change so I'm start moving that needle ahead, right? So I think that was the biggest thing. It's like, if it's only 30 minutes a day, you can do a lot of things, and you have to be okay with like a season of learning. Cause I did not know anything about real estate. Mm-hmm. I did not know when people are, if their side hustles are drop shipping. I'm sure there was a time where they didn't know anything about drop shipping. So they had to take a course. They had to, you know, watch a lot of online videos or whatever it may be, but there's going to be a season of learning.
Right.
And in that season of learning, you're not really going to have a ton of progress. So you have to have that season of learning, but also you don't want that season of learning to be all you're doing, right, where people are analysis paralysis. So like,
yeah,
I say you have to be aware that you're going to learn some things, but then you don't want to stay in that just learning state. So for me, it was like very beginning, like my sacred time was 100% like learning. I was watching classes. I was listening to mentors. I got connected to a community that actually I pay for classes. They got me the education, and I was just watching them. Then for me, it was like, okay, I'm going to, that 30 minutes, I'm going to start taking action. And then I'm going to have that season of learning, whether that on the videos, Tony Robbins calls it net time, no extra time.
Mm.
So if it's, and people do with naturally podcasts already, we're in that kind of field. So if I'm trying to learn drop shipping, just an example, I don't do drop shipping, so I'm just using as an example. I can be listening to a podcast about drop shipping, how to do it, or how to video, whatever. I could be listening to that while I'm cutting my grass, while I'm doing the dishes, I'm driving, I'm commuting. Your car needs to be a university. Someone else, this is not mine, but I can't remember who said this, but your car needs to be a university on wheels.
Wow.
When you're in your car, you should be, despite how much you love, you know, Post Malone, you want to hear some cool tunes, but it needs to be a college on wheels. You know, that's what it needs to be, because you need to be listening to, educating yourself. You know, phone calls. It could be a great way to catch up. Like if I'm, I live in a small town here in Utah, and the major city is about 45 minutes away from us. And so I'm, most of my work, my transactions I do is in Salt Lake area.
Yeah.
So I would have to travel like every day back and forth, but I'm either making phone calls while I'm driving, I'm listening, I'm learning. That the car is making me money, just the time I'm spending in it. So instead of just learning all the words to Post Malone's next song, I'm learning how to negotiate better. I'm learning how to do sales better. I'm learning how to find more off-market properties. I'm having more real-life conversations with mentors, with people that I'm helping to mentor, to mentee, whatever. I'm helping. You know, I'm having those type of conversations. I'm talking to sellers. I'm doing all of that. And it's been dramatic. So even people say, I have no time. I don't even have 15 minutes. Like, okay, but you got net time. You definitely have net time. And so I can, anyone gives me their schedule, I guarantee I can find minute, whatever. And they're always saying, oh, I don't have extra time. I don't have time for this. This is okay. You got time. You could do something.
Right.
So net time was huge for me. In fact, the education that I got, it's on video format. So I was able to listen to it, and we had walkie talkies. I'm not recommending people to do this. I don't want people to get in trouble, but instead of having walkie talkie in my ear, I had my headset in, and I was listening to real estate courses all day long. The whole store could be on fire. I wouldn't even know. I was right next to the next level up to the store manager. And he was just like, Jared, I keep trying to get a hold of you. I can't get a hold of you. Like, oh, sorry, my walkie must be broken. I don't know. Weird, man. He gave me like three different new walkies, man, throughout that year. But I was just committed, man. And it was, again, not necessarily, you know, I wanted to get people in trouble. But that's what you got to do. Like when you have that vision, it's like, okay, I only have this time to actually like sit down on the computer and, you know, work out whatever. But where else can I work? Where else can I do this stuff? Mm-hmm. You know, and that was huge. And then I can go in a whole nother thing as far as like once you actually quit your job, when it becomes your main hustle. As far as time frame, because that was a trip. So we can definitely go into there if you want, or
yeah, yeah. let's touch on that for sure. I'd love to, because people listening are like, okay, I'm on the path, I'm doing the thing, but now I'm scared.
Right.
I'm going to lose all of the security, whatever benefits, if I have any, or just knowing I have a paycheck tomorrow morning, I'm going to lose all that if I jump ship and make this big. What if my family, who was kind of about starting it, now they're like, are you nuts? What are you doing? You can't quit your job. Right.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So when I got the point to quit my job, we had more funds we had a year's worth of funds in our bank. So
good point.
And I don't think if you're living paycheck to paycheck and then you if you're normally making $3,000 a month and then your side hustle brought in $3,000 a month, oh great, I can quit. No. Because you brought something up as well, like your benefits too.
Right.
I still need, you know, well, you're in Canada, so you guys have a bit different system, but here we got to pay for our health care.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and also, you know, like the insurance,
taxes,
all of that stuff. That's also part of what you benefit of having a job, right? So you don't only just want to be making what your take home, but you got to be factoring that in. And I wouldn't quit your full-time job until you doubled your normal income personally. In fact, I think I quit too soon. And I'll tell you why. So when I quit, because we did a couple of fix and flips, we had that money in the bank. We had more in the works. That may be another reason. Like, I'm not like, oh crap, now I got to find something otherwise. Cause I know guys that they did one fix and flip. That was the first deal.
That's it.
I quit. I'm done. And then like, oh, it's harder to find my next deal than I thought. And then they had to get another job again. So we had the money and we had projects in the works. And so great, let's do it. The thing is, so I figured because I'm quitting my job, I'm going to have 60 more hours a week I'm going to triple my current income. That's not the case at all. It's not. Because here's the thing. When you're been accustomed to having a boss your entire life, you had a boss at kindergarten. You went to school, you shut up, you sat in your desk and you colored, right? Because that's what the teacher told you to do. All the way up to even if you went to college, it's the same thing. You sit down, you shut up and you take notes and you take this test. I'm going to tell you when to take it. I'm going to tell you how to do it. Then you get your job. Okay, you sit down at your desk. You're going to fill out this paperwork and do this. I'm going to tell you when you go on a break. I'm going to tell you when all this stuff. Yeah. You don't do the consequences. Suddenly, you don't have a job anymore. Those pesky boss that you hate are no longer there. But now you're kind of left on your own.
Right.
And if you don't have that structure routine in place, it's going to be like the first 2 weeks after I quit, my wife's like, did you just go on vacation or something? Like, well, what do you mean? Like, I'm just seeing this hanging around the house. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. I really didn't do too much today, did I? You know, and if anything, I probably was accomplishing more per day when I was working the full-time job as opposed to when I didn't.
Wow.
So it was kind of like, oh wow, it's a complete different mind shift of being your own boss, your own entrepreneur, as opposed to just when having a boss. Right. And I learned that the hard way. So my wife had to have a, thank goodness for her, man. I couldn't have done this without her support, honestly. Yeah. Although if you don't have a supportive spouse, you can still do this. It's just maybe a little more challenging. Helps, that's all. Yeah. That's fine. But she had a hard heart with me. Like, hey, man, now it's all on you. Like, we don't have that support. We don't have that guaranteed income coming in anymore. So like, yeah, you're right. And so I had to kind of break down and I just broke down I created a schedule. I blocked it off at 5:30. I'm doing exercises. Do my meditations, all that stuff. And then cool. Now I'm actually going to be from 9 in the morning to 11 o'clock, I'm analyzing deals. From 11 o'clock to 4, I'm making phone calls. From 4 to 5:30, I'm doing appointments. And so I kind of had to block off my schedule. And here's another reason why I said I think I quit too soon was now with the income I was getting from the fix and flips and other real estate transactions. When I had a job, we would be able to put that money into like passive income, like rental properties, for example, and just have the passive income. But now I don't have my job to pay my bills. So I had to use that money to pay my bills instead of growing my wealth. So even though like once I got the schedule routine, I was doing more than I was before, because of how to use that money to pay for our bills or living expenses. And when you're not used to having 60 grand in the bank account,
right?
When it would take you a full year to make 60 grand, and that's, and then, well, and then Uncle Sam would take away, you know, a big chunk of it just from taxes. You kind of spend money on stupid things, especially at first.
Yeah.
You know, let's go to Cancun. And which is, I think that's important to have those type of experiences. But I had a lot of like come to Jesus meetings with myself and my wife. We had a conversation like, you know what? We need to change our mindset. Like, this is, if our goal is just to have a really cool lifestyle, that's awesome. We need to continue like that. But like, is our goal to build generational wealth?
Right.
And to help as many people as you possibly can, or are we just gonna, you know, go on vacations, you know, every month? And which is still not a bad thing, but it's like we had to look at ourselves, like, what do we want to do? So right. Let's start putting this money into assets that's gonna pay us more money, and then with the assets to pay us money, we can go on vacations with. So we had to slow things down a little bit to go forward faster. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think if I would have started over, I would have worked at least another year working at Walmart, because that money could have been thrown into rental properties that would give me like $1,000 a month passively, and sure. then get another rental sure. property, and then so on and so forth. Then it'd be like you have rentals, yeah. and so you, I mean, that rental income is pretty nice, especially when you have great tenants.
Yeah,
you know. So I mean, yeah, that's, I learned a lot from trial and error, to say the least, but. I did have a lot of good helps with some good mentors and things like that. So yeah, don't think just because you're quitting a job that you're automatically going to double your output, because you won't. It's just not going to happen. At least not what you're thinking.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of people quit too soon. And then that feel bad. So when they have to go back to work, then everyone that was giving those looks, like you mentioned earlier,
yeah.
that laughed at you before, they're like, told you, see? Mm-hmm. And I've seen guys where they quit too soon, and because their pride wouldn't let them go back, their family suffered.
Wow.
Really? Wow. I mean, yeah. I'm not joking. Like I've seen guys where they needed to get another job. They quit too soon. And I'm not trying to scare other people from not quitting their job. I think it just needs to be right place and time. That's all. I think you should work for that and do it. So please don't misinterpret this, guys, but there should be something where like, okay, and be okay if you do branch off and your side hustle is full time. Acknowledge that I might have to get another job at a gas station for a little while. That's a possibility. Like have that in your head. Like that's a possibility. Talk to your family. Like this, if this doesn't work, that's okay. I can get a job somewhere else for a short period of time till this picks up. If you have that in the mindset, like okay, I can do that, and this is not like my. If I have to go back to work, like this is not my full. This is just a stepping stone. This is not my forever thing. I'm gonna pump gas for this next 6 months, pay for our bills. I'm gonna focus better on my side hustle, whatever, to really make things kind of explode.
Great advice. I love it. So Jared, if people want to connect with you and they want to learn from you, and
yeah.
real estate is the thing knocking on their door.
Yeah.
Pun, I guess there's a pun there somewhere. they want to work with real estate. They want to go down this path.
Yeah.
You have gained knowledge from many sources, which I love. Is there a way to learn from you directly one-on-one? How do people connect Absolutely. With you? What kind of things do you offer to listeners to help them on their journey?
Well, if anyone wants to get a hold of me directly, you can just go on linktree.com/askjared. So ASKJARED. And it has all my social medias. It actually has a one-on-one appointment scheduling. So if you want to actually have a one-on-one conversation with me, we can talk about what are your hopes and dreams. And maybe real estate's not in your vision, not in your sights, and that's okay. Like, but what are your hopes and dreams? What do you want to accomplish? And like, okay, we can work out maybe a plan where we can get you closer to there, you know? So anyone can go on that link tree, ask Jared, and then we can have the conversation. You can follow me on social media. I do like real estate tips all the time. So people can connect, and we can, if they want me to mentor them, we can talk about that too. So it's a lot of fun. I enjoy helping other people. Because when you have enough passive income coming in where you're kind of sustainable, now it's like, okay, I really enjoy helping other people progress and have the same freedoms as I got. It's a lot of fun.
So when do you start your podcast, Jared?
Well,
because I did have a podcast that. For about a year.
Yeah, I did have a podcast for about a year. And I just I mean, speaking of time management, right? But
yeah.
I just had other priorities at the time, and you know, we did 30 episodes.
Wow.
So that's still out there. If anyone wants to look up, it's How to Real Estate Podcast. Nice. You can check out my old episodes. It was back in 2020, and so we talked about, you know, and I'll just bring guests on, anything like that. I've been talking to my wife about starting it up again or doing a new one, but yeah, haven't quite pulled the trigger just yet. Who knows?
Well, there we go. We have people who listen to podcasts. Now we can send them over there and binge listen right on the past history of your stuff. Again, Jared, it's so great to have you on. And I know we can talk about your story and so much more. And the nice thing is I get to have you back on a couple other podcasts.
Yeah.
Going to have you on Living the Next Chapter for your writing. Going to have you on Dad Space to talk about generational wealth and how we can do that for our kids. So there's a lot more, Jared, coming in the future, which I love. I love the fact you gave up some time today on a holiday where you are, and you made time for us. I really appreciate it. So, Jared, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to share a little tips with your audience. It's been fun.
It's great. Everyone, please go check out the show notes, and everything we talked about is there. The books, Atomic Habits, everything. We'll link everything in the show notes. Go pick up all these great resources and let Jared know you heard him on the podcast and reach out. That's a great offer just to get into Jared's calendar and have a chance to talk to somebody who's doing it. And that's what I enjoy. So thanks, Jared, for being here.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey parents, if you're anything like me, balancing screen time for our kids is a constant struggle. That's why I want to share a little secret with you. KidsPod, a revolutionary app where podcasts aren't just for adults anymore. KidsPod offers a treasure trove of kid-friendly podcasts, making it super easy and safe for your little ones to explore, learn, and be entertained without staring at a screen. And the best part? It's completely free to download. Empower their imagination and curiosity with content that's made just for them. Download the KidsPod app today, because podcasts are for kids too.